This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, April 20th, 2014, Easter Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
The third day he rose again according to the Scriptures. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We hear those words every time we gather together for Mass on every Sunday. If you're one to say the Rosary, you hear those words every time you say the Apostles' Creed or every time you say the Triple Prayer. The third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures. This is our belief. And when I say belief, I just don't mean a memory. It is truly what we hold in our hearts, and it is truly what we must hold in our hearts, what we must truly believe. So, I mean, you'll hear all kinds of folks in our day and age that say, well, it's a metaphor. It's an allegory. It's an illustration of Jesus overcame sin. It doesn't really mean that he rose from the dead. Not really. 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 A creed is what you believe. Credo, Latin, I believe. Truly believe. Hold it dear to your hearts. An objective truth, a historical truth, that Jesus Christ, the God-man, died on the cross. On Friday, the ninth hour, or about 3 p.m., he was buried the same evening of that day. And early on the morning of the third day after he was dead, that is on a Sunday, his soul was reunited to his body, and thus he who was dead during those 3 days arose and returned again to life. That's what we believe. Truly, that's what we believe. Somebody who was dead came back to life. Now, the Scriptures in the Old Testament and in the New have several different illustrations of people being raised from the dead. Every time they were raised from the dead, someone prayed over them, the intercession of the prophet or whoever. Our Lord Jesus Christ did it of his own volition. He did it because he wanted to. He did it of his free will. He did it because he had the power to do it. So it proves something to us. It proves explicitly and very pointedly that the one who hung on the cross was indeed God Almighty himself. He was the God-man. But he did truly die in this humanity, and he was dead for 3 days, and then he rose again. I don't think there's anybody in here that probably hasn't lost a loved one, or many loved ones and friends. You know, when you think about what it would mean to you if you saw them again, if they just came back from the dead, go, well, yeah, that sounds neat. He really did. He really did come back from the dead. If you think about it, that's what God wants you to know about him. The Scriptures say, I quote from Paul's letter to Timothy, a young bishop. He does not say, remember Jesus Christ and all the charitable works that he did. He doesn't say, remember Jesus Christ and the blind people that he made see. He doesn't say, remember Jesus Christ and the people that he raised from the dead. And say that. It says, and this is the Holy Spirit speaking through the writer, remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. That's it. Remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Because it should mean something to you. It should be your end-all be-all. The fact that our Lord Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. There are advantages for us to believe this. You know, we are a people that live in a society where, what's in it for me? Well, there's something in it for you, our Lord's resurrection. There are advantages. The advantages are that once we put away sin, and for the vast majority of us, that was at our baptism that without caveat, whether you are 8 hours old or 108 years old, washes away original sin, and any other sin, no matter how many, no matter how long, no matter how many years, no matter how bad, without caveat, your baptism does away with every single one of them. We're baptized in the Church of Jesus Christ We put away the sins and we lead a new life, or we ought to. We're truly supposed to lead a new life. You are supposed to live a practical Catholic life, a life of integrity, a life of holiness, a life of charity, a life of modesty, a life of justice and humility. I mean, that's just a few. You should. You are called to lead that new life. It's not a suggestion. You are to do it. You are to lead this new life. When our Lord says, repent for the kingdom of is at hand, he said a couple months ago in a homily, the word repent doesn't mean you're sorry for something. It's not you're sorry. It's that you want to turn away from it. The Greek word metanoia means to turn away from things that used to be and to turn towards something different. After our baptism, we are supposed to lead this life. Now, baptism, again, you say, well, I was baptized when I was an infant, and I dropped the ball a whole long time ago, so now I'm just pretty well hopeless. Wrong? Absolutely wrong, because our Lord Jesus Christ knows our frame. He knows that we are dust, and he has given us something to fix those problems. It's called the sacrament of confession, reconciliation. That is a sacrament which we should avail ourselves very, very frequently, because, again, he knows our frame. That's why he gave it for us. Because we're not only supposed to lead a new life, we're supposed to persevere in that life. You're supposed to persevere in a life that, so as never, without divine assistance, that you will stray from this path of virtue to which you are called. Again, it's not a suggestion. It is a mandate. And it comes because of our Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection, your ability to do this. We hear all kinds of people, when you invite them to church, you talk about your faith. Well, I don't go to church because I know this person, and they don't live like that. They're hypocrites, and this group in the church, they're this, and all that. So what? So what? The question is, your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't bother with what other people do, what they have done, what they are doing, what they might do. You are called to engage with Christ yourself. And it says, a result of his resurrection, that you can lead this new life. I quote again from St. Paul in Romans, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? So that, as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. It is truly a new life. So, well, I don't know if I'm doing that or not. There are proofs to this new life. Just a couple. I mean, they're not, you know, big, huge theological examinations. The reading from this morning, from Colossians. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. Again, this is like that big part of that turning away from the way things used to be. We are to seek the things that are above. They should become more attractive to you than the things that are the past. As much of a hold as they may have on us, as much as we might be tempted by them, and we are indeed and will indeed be tempted. If we are raised with Christ, we will seek the things that are above. We will want to do those things more than the old things. Or when we revert back to the old things, we will be pained by that. We are supposed to seek these things that are above. And then again in Philippians, St. Paul says, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Now if you'd be reading your Bible, you could just blow right past that. If there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Okay. Think about these things. Always have them in the forefront of your mind. Because when they're in the forefront of your mind, you will deviate your attention from these old things. We are to live Christ's resurrection. We are to live his resurrection every single day. We just got done with Lent. Most of us, you know, you take on something or some things. I don't want to say that make you uncomfortable, because they don't. They make us a little bit less comfortable than we might normally be. But why do we do that? We do that to associate, in some small way, in some infinitesimal way, our personal lack of full comfort to the sufferings of Christ. We want to associate in some way with him. His sufferings were temporary. They were grievous and they were indescribable as far as we're concerned. We can't even get what he suffered physically, but they were temporary. They were temporary, but his resurrection is eternal. So if you bothered for the past 40 days to engage in something that made you a little bit more like him in his sufferings that were temporal, why would you not engage with living his resurrection that is eternal? And it doesn't start when you're on the other side, when you breathe your last. It starts right here and right now. You have been called to newness of life. Not you will be called to newness of life when you die. You are called to newness of life. Because I started out with this. The third day he rose again, according to the scriptures. That article speaks of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But everything is summed up when we read, I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life for the world to come. That first article is about our Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection. That article, I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life for the world to come, is yours. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.